afraid that Barky is angry at me and my opinions. Is that necessary? Is that necessary?
That was adorable.
I know. Why do I try? Why do I even try to podcast? I know he just wants to podcast.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
I have been a nerd since long before I could have heard that bookish girls should look and act a certain way. And I'll still be a geek when I am utterly antique, because I do not care what normal people say.
Hello, my name is Casey, and I'm sorry I bit you. And pulled your hair. And punched you in the face. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Sue. My manager is a vampire, and he wanted me to join his legion of the undead. And I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast! It has not been that long!
Not anymore!
No, now we're doing these bi-weekly until we can come up with a good moment of who topic.
Or a good reason not to. Teasing.
You're going to scare the people. The few people that listen to this podcast. All one of them. So today's topic is Lilo and Stitch, the 2002 Disney movie, and one of the few sci-fi movies they did. In traditional animation.
Yeah, very, very few. I can't believe how old this movie is.
I know. I was watching it the other day thinking that it seems so fresh and now, but double checking the Internet Movie Database, I went, oh no. Oh no. Have you done anything interesting recently? What you been up to?
I've been going to lightsaber class.
Lightsaber class?
Yeah. My friend Amy, who is part of the Empire Saber Guild, which is kind of like the 501st, but most people have only heard of the 501st. Saber Guild is the international organization, and Empire Saber Guild is specifically like the New York Temple. But she's been doing it for a while and has convinced me to start going, as well as Anomaly Anne has been going as well. So we hung out and swung sabers around for 2 hours last night.
Oh, that's awesome!
I know!
I went to a puppet workshop last week.
Yes.
That was hosted by the theater I like to go to. And that was a lot of fun. It made me think, oh, I should actually take my interest of puppetry seriously, because I'm obviously very much in love with it. And since then, I have been lip-syncing my hand to Hamilton, the musical, to kind of strengthen my forearm muscle, because that takes a lot of work, because you're mainly moving your thumb to speak rather than your whole hand, like you would, you know, like you would do playing with your kids and their weird puppets, toy puppets, whatever.
Well, yeah, and if they do Henson style too, right, you're like pushing forward with every syllable, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is exactly what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that Hamilton's a great thing to practice too, because it's so fast.
It is so fast. I mean, the only other thing I could possibly imagine practicing to would be Sondheim, but you also want that life and you want to kind of create a movement for your characters to kind of dance to, which is easier with Hamilton because Sondheim's pieces are more introspective and, you know.
Unpredictable, you can, maybe?
Yeah. You can't choreograph an impromptu dance to Sondheim.
Maybe you can't.
No, I can't. I just don't trust other people to. I'm telling you that if you are a puppetry beginner and you don't know that much Sondheim, maybe not start out with Sondheim. yeah, that's my major thing, really. And I read Furiously Happy by Jenny Lawson. And I cannot recommend it enough. It is so funny, and it also provides a unique, eccentric, but also honest perspective on what it's like to live with mental illness and other things. But it's hilarious. That's the only book recommendation I have right now.
Yeah, I have been killing my Goodreads goal in January.
I noticed.
But I'm not sure that I have any that I'm like, whoa, read this. Give me a second. I picked up the first two Lumberjanes collected graphic novel, trade paperback, whatevers. And they're really for a younger audience, but they're hilarious.
Good, they're on my to-read list. Or the same reading challenge.
They're basically about this group of girls at camp, but it is called the Lumberjanes, and of course based on the Girl Scouts, but sort of definitely different, and they encounter all of these like paranormal things on their outings every day, and it's just a lot of fun, and there are a ton of like pop culture references in there, and you're like, did they even just do that? it's a lot of fun, and they're a super quick read. And I also just finished, I guess it's really novella length because it was just over 100 pages, by Mira Grant, a book called Rolling in the Deep, which is not an Adele biography. It is a story about killer mermaids from the Mariana Trench that are discovered when the Imagine Network, which you can guess what that's supposed to be in real life, go out to film a fake documentary about finding mermaids. And it is a super quick read, but also just really, really good.
So back up, what, killer mermaids?
Killer mermaids.
I'm in.
Yeah. Highly recommend it. And I just started The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
That book is so good!
Yeah. That is, you know, nonfiction. It is about the cells taken from this woman, Henrietta Lacks, that have were cancer cells and have continued to grow and are used in all these experiments. But it is about the woman and her family and her experiences. And I'm maybe 30% in, and it's just fascinating.
It's so good, you guys. I'm pretty sure I talked about it once on this podcast a few years ago, but I think you described it better than I ever could.
I remember hearing about it for the very first time on NPR Science Friday when it first was being published. Like, they had the author on and everything. And it has been on my reading list since then, and I finally got around to it.
I need to delete so many books off of my to-read list because I just accept that I'm never going to get around to them. It's like, I know I should read this, but if I died tomorrow, would this be the book I read today?
Yeah, there are over 1,000 books on my to-read list, and it's a problem.
It's a major problem. Marie Kondo, The Life of Tidying Up. It includes your social media and Goodreads, your to-read list. Simplify.
Yeah, I mean, there's also just time of going through that to-read list. Because I browse through it every now and then, and there's definitely stuff that's on there that I'm like, I don't even remember what this is or why it's here.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, anything else?
No, I think that just about covers it.
All right, let's get into our main topic.
Transition.
I don't think a spoiler warning is necessary.
Well, we'll give the, you know, normal. If you haven't watched this and you care, you should probably go watch it. And probably. This, if we haven't made it clear, is Lilo and Stitch, 2002. Oscar-nominated for Best Animated Feature.
Directed by Chris Sanders and Dean DeBlois? Blois?
Sure. The 42nd animated feature in the Walt Disney Animated Classics collection. If that matters to anybody.
Yeah. It lost to Spirited Away, which, okay, I've seen Spirited Away, and it's a fantastic movie. Yeah, I'm going to say that I sided with Lilo and Stitch in the Oscar race, because it just fits my sensibilities more. It's more quirky, it's funny, it's heartfelt.
Yeah, it's kind of out of the box for Disney animated features, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The people in it are shaped like normal people, and there's body diversity. And it's definitely way quirkier than, say, a princess movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you would never see baby Elsa putting voodoo dolls of her friends in a jar and shaking it.
Which would have been amazing and made me love her more, because she's my favorite Disney princess queen.
You said it before I even had to.
I know, but people still call her a Disney princess, and I'm like, nuh-uh, she queen. Uh-huh. Yeah, queen. So, now I just say princess queen.
Princess queen. Oh. But... yeah, and the cool thing about this film, I think, is the animation style. Like, they took it back to sort of emulate Dumbo all the way back to 1941 and did these old-school, like, watercolored backgrounds that they had to reteach their new animators how to do because they hadn't done it in 60 years.
Well, the character designs were also based on Chris Sanders' drawing style, because that's how he naturally draws. If you go back and look at his concept work for Beauty and the Beast, Rescuers Down Under, Mulan, they look just like the Lilo and Stitch characters. So the animators also had to adapt to his style, which they said, you know, was actually pretty hard. Because Disney has a very specific, you know, style, and it kind of, what I find interesting is that style kind of started to vary, starting with Hunchback of Notre Dame, where they tried to make it go a little more lifelike, and then in Hercules they made it a little more based on Grecian urns and whatnot, and even Atlantis was based on the artist style who works on Hellboy. He came in and did a lot of concept art for it, and they went, oh, we want the movie to look like that. So this is around the time when Disney got a little more experimental, which not a lot of people were into, and that's why I think they went back to that traditional Disney style, but in 3D. That is me and my animation theory.
Sure.
I hypothesize a lot, and I really wanted to be an animator. Even still, by the time I saw this movie, I was still considering becoming an animator, but I was getting more and more into theater and finding out that I just did not like drawing flip books?
Yeah, I feel like that would be necessary.
Yeah, that was... I just wanted to draw the pictures. Also, it was nearing the end of my time of drawing consistently because I equated drawing pictures for other people as friendship, and that was not the case.
Ooh.
Like, they would say, draw me a picture, and I'm like, they want to be my friend! And then they would go in, and I'd be like, oh, they just got a free picture. That was dumb. Over and over again, children.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yes. If someone asks you to draw something, children, make them pay in money. Your work is valuable.
Charge for your art. Unless you podcast. Apparently. So I actually don't know when I first saw this movie. I don't remember it. I'm going to say I'm pretty sure that it was not in the theater and I saw it at some point later, because there was a several year stretch of stuff that I just missed. And I remember then, like, going through and finding a list of all of the Disney movies that had been released in the theaters since the last one I saw, and watching them all, like, renting them, probably from Blockbuster, because it was still the early 2000s.
Oh, bless your heart.
Right? But I also had Netflix very early, too, so probably also from Netflix, but not streaming yet. Anyway, I assume that you saw this right from the beginning and like, in your normal Casey and Disney way, were following the updates and the production and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was fascinated from the moment I heard about it. I may have had the same kind of reaction that I had when I heard about Inside Out, which is... Really? A movie about this? All right, we'll see if this works, Disney. But then the teasers came out. Do you remember seeing the teasers?
What I really remember from the stuff leading up to this movie is just the song. That's pretty much it, because I feel like the Hawaiian roller coaster ride song was everywhere. But that is all I remember from it.
The marketing campaign was so good, because the first teaser trailer that came out from Lilo and Stitch is that it would start with the music tag from another classic Disney movie. I think the first one was Beauty and the Beast, and you saw the ballroom scene come out, and you're just like, oh, I guess they're re-releasing Beauty and the Beast in the theaters? Okay. And then you pan up, and you see Stitch crawling on the ceiling, and he climbs onto the chandelier, and it falls down and ruins the moment between the Beast and Belle. And Belle's just like, get your own movie, and just storms out.
That is great. I honestly am not sure I've ever seen those. I'm going to have to search them out.
They're so good. There was also another one for The Lion King, and The Little Mermaid, and Aladdin. They are so good. Highly recommended. And as soon as I saw that teaser trailer, I'm like, I need to see this movie because it speaks to me on so many levels.
Should we maybe talk about the plot of this movie?
Why? So, do you want to find a summary, or do you just want to kind of cobble something together?
Well, let's see if we can do it this way. So, I actually feel like the teaser, if you can even call it that, but the time before the credits is much longer than usual, because they're telling you this huge backstory. So this, like, mad scientist guy creates Experiment 626, which is Stitch, and they put the scientists in jail and exile 626, but when they're transporting him to his exile, he breaks free and winds up on Earth, and then there's Lilo, who is being raised by her sister because her parents died in a car accident, and she is left out at school, and she doesn't really have any friends, and her sister hears her wishing on a falling star, which actually is Stitch's spaceship, for a friend. And they go to the pound and adopt Stitch, the weirdest looking dog ever. And hilarity ensues. How's that? Is that good?
It's good. That's a really good summary. Just about sums everything up.
And Lilo's only supposed to be like 6 while this is going on, and they're dealing with a social worker, and her older sister Nani has a hard time finding / keeping a job. And so there's a lot of like stress in the family, and it's kind of beautiful that they talk about their family being broken and mm-hmm. small, but also good and important.
Yeah. And the thing you have to realize is that Nani is probably about 18 when this is happening. That seems about right. And, you know, they're living in a small town in Hawaii. And I just love the relationship between her and Lilo, because obviously they fight. Sisters fight, no matter what the age difference is. But it's clear that they love each other very much, and Nani understands that her little sister is a little bit out there, which is super cool. And I related so much to Lilo, even at the age I saw this movie in the theater. I mean, one of my favorite lines is, and it reminds me of something that I would probably do if I were 6 and upset at my friends. Lilo is teased by her classmates. They call her crazy openly. And she goes home, gets spoons, and draws faces on them to make them look like her classmates, and then sticks them in a pickle jar and shakes it. And she says, "My friends need to be punished."
To the social worker, unfortunately.
Whose name is Cobra Bubbles.
Cobra Bubbles.
It's the best. Also, what's fun about this movie is that Chris Sanders, who created these characters, co-directed this movie and co-wrote this movie, voices Stitch. And it's just mainly growls and nonsense words until maybe the last quarter of the movie.
Yeah, I think he says hi or hello earlier on. But yeah, he doesn't really speak until the end. And was never designed to speak.
Right.
But yeah, I think everybody can identify with Lilo at some point in their lives. You know, even everybody sometimes feels like an outcast, even the people who you feel like are making you the outcast. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Also, what I love about this movie is that the kids talk like kids. Because the little red-haired girl, I never remember her name in this movie.
Myrtle something?
Yeah. They're on their little tricycles, and they come up on Lilo, and she says, "What is that thing?" And Lilo's like, "I got a new dog. His name is Stitch." And Myrtle says, "That is the ugliest thing I have ever saw." Which is not proper grammar, but it's exactly what a kid would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they don't care.
And they don't know.
Exactly. And also the Hawaiian culture, too, was just beautiful. Because obviously there are the luau dancers, the surfing, but just the, you know, just the way it humanizes and brings that setting to life is so It's so great, and it's so unique and beautiful. I think the movie was originally supposed to be set in California.
I thought it was Kansas.
Somewhere in the United States.
Somewhere in the Midwest.
Somewhere in the United States where it's boring.
Yeah. But I thought I had read that they had some Native Hawaiian actors that were hired who helped, sort of almost as consultants. So not only with, you know, pronunciation and accents, but with cultural things or what words in Hawaiian to use or, you know, colloquialisms, which I think is really cool. Like, that's why you bring in people who have experience in the world you want to portray.
Right. Also, what's interesting is that Tia Carrera was an actress that was considered for Mulan. And then that didn't work out for her. And she was asked to be a part of this movie. And she was so excited because she got to sing. That's all she had ever wanted, was to sing in a Disney movie.
She was the voice of Nani.
Yes.
Right? And the cool thing, if you pay attention, when you see the shots of Nani's bedroom, there's a Mulan poster on the wall.
That's so awesome.
Isn't that cool? Thanks, IMDb.
And instead of being a musical, because that just wouldn't work for this movie, it's an Elvis Presley soundtrack. Because that's just who Lilo likes. I remember my little sister loving Elvis Presley when she was about Lilo's age. And that was a big bonding element between my little sister and my dad. Mm. So sometimes I like imagining that that's how Lilo got into Elvis Presley, is because of her dad.
I also think Elvis is just more present in Hawaiian culture still.
Okay, yeah. Fair point.
I mean, my family went in 95, so admittedly 21 years ago. Holy crap. but, I mean, his music was everywhere then. I don't know if it's still the case now, but yeah.
I've never been to Hawaii. It's on my bucket list.
My sister keeps going back.
Well, your sister can bite me.
Same.
So, who was your favorite character in this movie? Who did you like the most? Or which voice actor was your favorite performance?
I mean, Lilo is amazing and has some fantastic lines. I really like the not quite boyfriend, David, I think, right?
Yes, David.
And I really like that relationship that they have, where he's like clearly into Nani, but she's just honest. She's like, look, I'm not into you. I'm just trying to raise my sister. And I have a lot going on right now. And that whole thing gives you the impression that whatever happened to their family happened very recently. Which makes it even harder what Lilo and Nani are going through. But, you know, David doesn't get angry and he's still there and he wants to help. And he wants to help them. And he's like, I get it. You can't do anything right now. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop being your friend. I'm going to stop caring about you. And I just really like the way that relationship is portrayed. This might be an unpopular opinion. I have always been kind of annoyed by Stitch himself.
And how dare you?
It might be because most of my experience with him, possibly even before I saw the movie, was in the Disney parks. And, like, the character, the, like, fur character that walks around. And I've always sort of found it as kind of annoying. But that's me.
I love Stitch. He might be my favorite. Although, I think Lilo and Stitch are about the same. Which I think is what it's meant to be. But I'm wondering, you're also not a dog person, are you?
I'm not really.
I'm wondering if that factors into it.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that just now. Yeah, that it could very well be. I can deal with dogs. Like, I'm not afraid of them, but I
That's
don't
good.
Prefer them.
Right.
I mean, I don't not like them, but, you know.
If this movie had been about an alien who pretends to be a cat,
it wouldn't have been nearly as destructive. Well, at least not in the same ways.
It wouldn't have been as plot-driven, I think. It's just a cat being, like, what?
No, the movie where the weird being is a cat is How to Train Your Dragon.
Yep. Although they do have some dog-like tendencies every now and then, but yeah.
Yeah.
Those dragons are closer to the cats. This is also important to mention because the same people who directed and co-wrote this movie went on to write the first How to Train Your Dragon movie.
Oh, did they? That's yes. funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They transferred to DreamWorks, and I think either they or one of the animators actually, spoilers for How to Train Your Dragon, when you first meet Toothless, he's missing a little piece of his tail that sort of helps him guide his flying thing, whatever, words. flying trajectory.
It's like his throttle.
Yes.
or rudder.
So, yes.
Or something.
Yes. Something like that. I don't know. I don't care about vehicles. I'd rather be a hobbit and walk everywhere. But they didn't know how that character would react to having a new attachment to his tail. So I think what happened is that I think they put tape on the end of one of their cat's tails and basically videotaped its movement.
Aww.
It is for art, Sue. It is for art. That movie is also an Academy Award nominee. Did it win? Did it win?
I don't remember.
I feel like it probably won. Who was it up against? Probably Pixar. Hold on.
Okay, but side note to that, don't scare your cats with cucumbers. It's really, really mean, and it stresses them out. And please don't do it, because basically their instincts make them think it's a snake. So please don't scare your cats with cucumbers.
Where did that come from?
That was a big internet thing for a while. Like, people would video, like, while their cats were eating, they would put a cucumber on the ground next to them, and when the cat turned around, it would jump, like, 3 feet in the air.
My husband will do the same thing.
But he's afraid of cucumbers? But, like, no, it even made it to, like, the nightly news. And people were playing videos of these cats jumping from away from cucumbers everywhere. And it always has made me really, really sad and also angry because it's so mean.
Awful, awful people. Let's see. No, it was nominated. It was nominated for an Oscar. How to Train Your Dragon. Good to know. It probably lost to a Pixar movie. It came out in 2010. It was probably up. It probably lost to Up.
Yes, Bean?
Anyway. Lena Bean, are you afraid of cucumbers? What else are you afraid of? Nothing.
She's not afraid of anything. Hi.
Yeah.
Do you want a podcast? Can you say podcast?
Meow, meow.
If I could get you to meow there, that would be hilarious.
Can you say podcast?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to follow her around with a microphone to get her to meow so that I can make a fake promo.
I know.
You want a podcast like Mommy? You say podcast? Oh my goodness.
I mean, obviously we love this movie because we're pet owners, I think.
Okay, bye.
I mean, it may not be about cats, but it's not even about a dog. It's about an alien who pretends to be a dog, but
it's about a dog.
It's about a dog. It's about an alien dog. But, you know, there is an inherent friendship that builds from being able to take care of something. You know, it's not a human baby. It's not like, you know, being sad when Bambi's mom dies, because that's a totally different thing. That's a totally different dynamic.
That's a horrifying, but terrible thing.
It is horrible. Or Baby Mine from Dumbo, which is also awful.
Oh, man. I was inexplicably awake at like 2 in the morning and flipping through the channels, and Dumbo came on and it was just starting. And I was like, I'll leave this on and hopefully fall asleep. And the entire opening sequence is super racist.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I don't know when the last time before that I watched Dumbo was, but I was like, I don't remember this. This is terrible. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry.
No, I am too. So am I. Yeah.
Anyway, but you were saying Dumbo.
But I just remember tearing up so hard when Stitch went off into the forest by himself and looks at this children's book about the ugly duckling and imitates it by saying, I'm lost.
Oh, I know, because because on the next page the family shows up and loves the duckling, and he just wants somebody to come and get him and be his family, and it's so sad.
I know. Barky, we are having a moment.
He's lost. No, he's not lost.
Oh, no. That's a really good part. That's a really sweet part.
And apparently, Lilo in Hawaiian means generous one, but can also mean lost.
No!
I don't know. Usually when a word means one thing and also can mean another thing, they're more closely related, I think, than generous one and lost. But that is according to IMDb, so who knows?
Oh, man.
I know, that just puts, like, another nail in the coffin of tears.
But again, this is a really funny movie.
It's so funny. And great, you know, great for sourcing memes.
It really is, yeah. What is the... Because I laughed pretty hard throughout this movie, rewatching it. But what's the moment... What's the moment that makes you laugh the hardest?
The moment that makes me laugh the hardest that I actually always pause the movie for... because I'm laughing so hard, is when the aliens are in the house towards the end, and they're chasing Stitch around to try and capture him. And Lilo calls the social worker and says, aliens are invading my house. And there's that whole conversation. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm not even going to be able to say it. And then she says, oh, good, my dog found the chainsaw. It's just, what?
Oh my god, that is a good part.
It's just, oh good. Oh, it's so great. Hopefully yours is different.
I like, there's a moment where Stitch is able to escape from General Guntu, I think his name is. but Lilo is still trapped on the ship. So Nani hits him with a branch and she's like, "Where is she? Talk! I know you can." And he says, okay. And she goes, "Ah!" and hits him with a branch again.
<I know>.
It's like, if you knew he could talk, why did you expect anything?
Because she's still never heard it before, and that's what's so great.
And also when when Stitch turns to Jumba and says basically he wants to rescue Lilo in this different language, and Jumba's just like, "What? You expect me to free you just like that? Just like that?" And Stitch just says, "Ugh. Fine."
You do a really good Stitch.
I am pretty good at Stitch. Yeah. That as soon as I left the movie, I'm just like, I need to imitate that voice. And so at home in my room, I would practice reciting Stitch lines like, "Mooga, Nana Krillster." This was my childhood.
Wow.
And when I say childhood, I mean my teen years.
Because 2002.
I was 15. I had just turned 15. Mm. I didn't care how old I was. I'm just like, you're never too old to see Disney movies in the theater. So everyone else is going to see Minority Report. I remember this clearly. Because I was watching an entertainment news show and they were interviewing Colin Firth, and apparently Lilo and Stitch came in at number 2, and he's just like, "F Lilo and Stitch," and I'm just like, "F you, sir."
What?
That was back in the days when Colin Farrell was the attractive bad boy, and now he is just a 40-year-old actor like everybody else.
Burn, I guess.
He was fine in Saving Mr. Banks. He did his job. Come on. Don't diss Lilo and Stitch for a company you may have to work for. That's dumb. Anyway. What else can we talk about in terms of this movie?
I don't know. This is your idea. Don't you have a list?
I don't have a list. Ugh. I was auditioning today.
Yeah, okay, fine. I was watching a bunch of Star Trek.
Typical day. Typical day.
Here are some potential talking points from the blog post, 11 Things You Didn't Know About Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, while on tour in Kauai, filmmakers noticed that their Hawaiian tour guide seemed to know someone everywhere they went. So they were struck by the guide's explanation of the term ohana as it relates to an extended family, that they made it the central theme of the film.
Hmm.
So I think that's an interesting talking point, because this movie is more about the family you make rather than the family you're born to. Which I'm a firm believer in that, honestly, because, you know, I have friends who I talk to all the time that are, you know, not like my sisters, but I feel like they are a part of my family, even though they're not my blood.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sometimes it feels like I have my maternal instincts come out when, you know, Barky does something insane or when he cries. So there's just that care that comes out when, you know, I talk to a friend or I take care of my dog or... You know, when you marry into somebody's family, they're not my blood family, but they're, you know, my family and they care about me, which is kind of awesome. So, Ohana.
Aww.
Yo. Oh.
I feel like I can't say silly things about that now. You know, I've just, earlier I was paging through a BuzzFeed article that says that Lilo and Stitch was the most real Disney movie of all time. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that before with the different animation and showing different body types. And with Lilo being, you know, your atypical Disney kid and that she's, like, weird and kind of dark and creepy. But there, this is also, it makes some good points here about really, they're tackling so much more. They're tackling kind of even poverty a little bit. And, like, the real struggles of this family that is dealing with stuff. And Nani's attempts to protect Lilo. And even though Lilo is dealing with being excluded from these groups, and she calls them her friends, but they clearly want nothing to do with her, right? But mm-hmm. she doesn't try and change herself to fit in with them. She has such a strong sense of self and what she likes and what she finds interesting. And she just finds the family that fits her, really. And they all build it together. And I just, that's always a concept that I have loved in storytelling, is the found family. You know, it's just, it's so, so much of it is just really, really lovely.
Yeah, and also what I love about Lilo's character is that even though she is a dark character, she's also a very happy little girl. Yeah, she thinks of weird, morbid stuff, but she has a smile on her face, and she's so sweet. And for some reason, she has a book about road maps of Iowa in her room. But you know what? She is so happy with who she is. Nani is very accepting of her. Uh-huh. And, you know, Stitch comes to care for her as well.
But I think one of my favorite non-funny parts, and I always hear, you know, messages like this, whenever they come up in other things, I always gravitate towards them. Nani says to Lilo, "Sometimes you try your hardest, but things don't work out the way you want them to." Which I think is a really important lesson and not one you get from Disney a lot. You know, there's a famous animated GIF of Picard saying, "Sometimes you do everything right and you still lose." And it's that same sort of idea of you can do everything you can, but sometimes you just still can't control what's going on.
And it also speaks a lot to grieving, because one of the parts that I think about the most, which is connected to the scene we were talking about earlier where Stitch goes into the forest and says, "I'm lost," is Lilo says, you know, you can stay, you'll be our baby and we'll teach you how to be good, but if you leave, I understand. I'll remember you, though. I remember everyone who leaves. And that says so much about grief and acceptance of, you know, circumstances and sadness. And it makes me want to cry every time I think about it. Because she just says it very matter-of-factly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the whole thing comes full circle, too. Because that's, like, I think that's right after she explains to Stitch, you know, the family situation based on the photograph that she keeps under her pillow. And when you realize that the scene at the beginning where she is hitting and biting and pulling the hair of this other girl in class is because Lilo, at 6 years old, believes that this fish controls the weather. And her parents died while driving in a rainstorm. And she's telling this story at this hula class about how she has to give the fish a peanut butter sandwich to keep the weather nice. And this girl calls her crazy. But this is how she is dealing with this grief of the loss of her parents. And it's this ritual that she has developed to help her heal. So imagine having something like that and being called crazy.
Yeah, but the great thing is that despite the adversity and also the antagonists, you know, Pleakley and Jumba, for the most part, are the antagonists for most of the movie, but then they become a part of this family, and so does Cobra Bubbles. And during the credits, and right before the credits, you see a montage scene, and during the credits, you see the wall of Lilo's pictures of their times together. And the very last one you see before it fades to black is that photograph of Lilo, Nani, and Nani with their parents. And then a little cutout photograph of Stitch pasted right next to them. And it's so sweet because they were able to push forward, but they didn't forget their past.
Yeah, it's super sweet. And it means the family can still grow.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I feel like this is one of the most underrated Disney movies. I mean, I can say that about many of them from the experimental stage. But I feel like this one holds up so well as, compared to Atlantis and Treasure Planet in terms of their sci-fi stuff. And you know what? I can see clearly it's better than, you know, Hercules. It's better than Pocahontas. It's better than Hunchback. It's just a really well-balanced movie. And I don't think it gets enough credit because it's not a musical. It's not about princesses. It doesn't fit in the Disney brand that they had built during the classic era or the Renaissance era.
Yeah, and it came, I mean, I guess still technically it's part of the Renaissance era, but it came at sort of a dip.
Right.
You know, and it did well. I think it was their highest grossing film in a few years since, since 1999 with Tarzan. But it's a little bit of a lull before, you know, everything shot back up again. Mm-hmm. And compared to the movies made before and afterwards, made relatively cheaply with this sort of old school animation style.
But I think what stands out for me with this movie is that it definitely doesn't feel like a Disney movie. And maybe it's because of the style, but... And also, just the framing of the story. It's like you said, you wouldn't see a child as quirky as Lilo in your typical Disney movie. You wouldn't see... aliens as cute. You wouldn't see aliens as cute as Jumba, Pleakley, Stitch, the intergalactic woman. I keep forgetting her name, but she's wonderful and I love her.
Does she get a name?
I think she's just the commander.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they would be portrayed as threats, basically.
It's also one of the few Disney animated films that's set in the present day.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a fairy tale story. It's certainly fantasy or sci-fi because aliens. But it's not, you know, full of magic and princesses and far-off lands. It's about real people in a real place dealing with real stuff when something extraordinary happens to them.
Mm-hmm. Also, what I think is a smart move with this movie is it is a modern setting, but they don't put in, you know, modern technology that... you know, would have dated it a little bit. Because I think back to Oliver and Company, and I'm like, oh, the 80s.
Look, I love Oliver and Company, okay? Billy Joel and a little orange kitten. Yes,
no,
please.
I love it. I love it. I think that's more your movie, actually, because it's about a kitty. Let's go back over the pet movies. Lady and the Tramp, Aristocats.
Oh, man, Aristocats.
Aristocats was awesome.
Love.
101 Dalmatians. Mm-hmm. Although it should be 101 Dalmatians, but semantics.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all in how we pronounce numbers, and most people pronounce numbers incorrectly.
Yes. Oliver and Company, not a lot of movies about pets. Even though this one is technically about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Alien pet. Alien puppy.
Love Pinocchio
him.
Has some pet time.
Does that count, though?
There's a kitty.
There is a kitty, but it's... Is it about the pet, though?
No. It's about the puppet.
It's about the puppet. Puppets!
Oh.
I just realized that the two Disney movies we've covered were, as full subjects... You know, we're Emperor's New Groove and Lilo and Stitch, which are basically in the dip of the Renaissance era.
Wait, and we also called Emperor's New Groove a really underrated Disney movie.
I think most of them that were in the dip are underrated, with the exception of Home on the Range, which was poopy.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a movie about cows. You could just tell.
It's about cows?
Yes, it's about cows.
And there's a bear one that I never saw either.
Oh, that one's boring, too. I'm not a fan. I did like the Rick Moranis and the other guy from Second City. They played Canadian mooses. Moose?
Meese? For a while, I had this idea of, going through the official, animated features... You know, the one that this is number 42 of, and, watching all of them in order. But there are some early ones that it's just really difficult to get a hold of. / illegal to get a hold of.
Right.
So I have not done it, but I feel like that would be an interesting and time-consuming thing to do at some point in my life.
Yeah. I am not opposed to that, but at the same time, that sounds like a lot of hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
That would be just a lot of man hours to put into watching Disney movies. Especially if some of them are bad. And there are bad ones.
Well, yeah, but I mean, imagine doing it, one a week, and you can watch them all in a year, and we're not even quite at 62 yet, right? I don't think we are.
I don't know. I don't think we are. What is the next one? What is the next Disney movie?
Haven't there been commercials for it?
Oh, Zootopia? I think it's Zootopia. Which is also about animals. No, I don't want to prove.
Oh, yeah, the most recent was Good Dinosaur.
I think that's Pixar.
Yeah, but I think Pixar has started to count.
I mean, they're obviously together. John Lasseter is the CCO, or the CEO. He's one of the two. But they're still kind of separate because they're a separate tone. The Disney movies still look like computer versions of Disney movies.
But I remember it was a big deal with Tangled that it was the 50th Walt Disney Animation Studios or whatever picture.
Right.
And the 10th princess.
Yes. That I remember that being a very big deal.
So I don't know what falls in where.
I'll probably do my research later.
We should cover Wreck-It Ralph.
I've never seen Wreck-It Ralph.
It's so fun.
It was on my list because nostalgia bunnies everywhere.
Yeah.
But it just, for some reason,
Moana
I never
was the one I was thinking of. I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
Moana?
Oh, Moana. Yeah. I'm excited.
That's
for
the
that
one that I thought was next. I forgot about Zootopia.
Yeah. I think Moana is going to be next year or the year after. I think they're working on it right now.
It says intended theatrical release date of November 23rd, 2016.
What?
That's what it says.
I'm going to get a movie that has one-third music and lyrics written by Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
There are three Disney releases this year.
Really? What's the other one?
Zootopia is March 4th. Mm-hmm. Finding Dory is June 17th.
Technically Pixar.
Yeah, it's Disney Pixar, but it's...
It's technically it's Disney. Pixar. Everything is under the Disney umbrella. There are subsections. There's Disney Disney.
Here we go. List of Walt Disney Animation Studios.
This
is going to be what I want.
Yes.
So yeah, this has Tangled as 50, Winnie the Pooh, Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen. Big Hero 6 is Disney. So Big Hero 6 is number 54. 55 is Zootopia.
Okay. I also heard Big Hero 6 was good.
That, I actually have that DVD from Netflix right now. Because I still get a DVD from Netflix every now and then. There are just some things that aren't on streaming.
Yeah.
Okay.
maybe I can see if it's available on Redbox.
Probably. I would imagine.
I mean, it's still slightly recent. Right?
The last couple years.
Well, it won the Oscar last year. For Best Animated
Feature. So last year, then.
Okay. Anything else? What are we missing?
No, I think that's it.
All right.
There's a lot of extra stuff in here, too.
Yeah, there is. So next time, on February 21st, we will be releasing an episode about the book The Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula K. Le Guin.
Yay!
Who wrote one of my favorite books from middle school, entitled The Wizard of Earthsea. And she has a book that I've been meaning to read forever called Cat Wings, which is about cats with wings. It's a children's book, and I don't care. It's cats with wings.
I mean, that's totally legit.
That's the best kind of cat.
I'll admit, I was not super into Wizard of Earthsea. But I'm not surprised by that, because wizards and fantasy don't always hit the right note with me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some do, some don't. But I have been wanting to read, you know, the stuff that she is really, really talked about for. Left Hand of Darkness and The Dispossessed is also on my reading list for a really long time. So I'm excited to talk about these, or that one.
So I believe we announced that we have been reading this for a while now. We started a thread on Goodreads. If mm-hmm. you guys want to congregate and talk about the book, if you're reading along with us. So I think if you have read the book by February 13th.
Let's say 12th.
Yeah.
12th or 13th.
Let's make the cutoff date the 12th. That way.
Okay.
Hard date, and it'll give us something to talk about if people send in comments.
Yes.
So if you are reading along with us and you want to send in a comment, whether by email, voicemail, or, you know, a nice Audacity recording that you can pre-edit, which I am one to do, you can do that by February 12th. Anything before midnight is fine.
Yep, and there's the Goodreads group. We realized recently that Goodreads was not notifying us of new member requests. So when that was discovered just this week, there was a big smattering of approvals. So now that we know how to find out when people request to be members, go on and join the Goodreads group.
Recommend books to each other, you guys. Even though we may not be able to be as active on social media as we would like, because life is hard and I am tired. You know, this is a community. Share, you know, things you've read that are good. Share things you've read that have interesting female protagonists. Share things that were written by women writers, or, you know, favorite movie adaptations. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Just share books. Yay, books.
Yay, books.
Okie dokie.
All right. We're going to call that a wrap. Cool, this is Casey.
This is Sue.
And this has been Anomaly Supplemental. Explosive ounce.
But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I
if you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or if you like hearing the sound of your own voice, like I do, you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-GEEK. Yes, it's one of those numbers that you can use alphabets on, and that's 248-419-4335. To stay up to date with Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental news, you can follow them on Twitter at Anomaly Podcast. That's the at symbol, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast. That's all one word. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly Supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. To meet other anomalies, please join the Anomaly forums. Click on the forum icon at anomalypodcast.com. Theme music is used by permission of Marion Call. Thank you, Marion. Find out more at marioncall.com. Or, of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Marion Call. That's MarianCall. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Oh, say that three times fast.
I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that fair and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic, because I don't require approval.
Sorry, I'm paying attention to my dog.
I understand.
This is like a pet-heavy podcast without me meaning it for it to be. Barky, come here. Barky, can you say podcast? Can you say podcast?
Good job, Kevin.
Good job, Kevin.
That was hilarious. What is happening?
We both had long days, apparently.
Oh, man.